Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Oh, what is up? Church by the Glades. 1 p.m. edition. Give it up for the 1 p.m. edition. Smart people. I said smart people who slept in, had a casual breakfast, sipped coffee, and are still honoring God on this Sunday. Brilliant decision. Turn to your neighbor. I know your mouth is muffled by a mask, and say, you are highly intelligent. Go. Turn to your neighbor. If you're watching right now online, great time, 1 o'clock. And if you are in the house, I am not above a bribe, not above a bribe. So everybody here today gets a free CBG t-shirt for being here to say thank you. Y'all come back next week. I might give you one in a different color next week, just saying. So come back, or if you have friends that normally come to 1 o'clock but miss today, you tell them to come next week. We'll hook them up next week. Thank you for choosing this service. It helps us reach more people. And we will give away, I think, 4 autographed footballs. So thank you. I'm trying to say thank you. Not above bribing good behavior. So thanks for being with us. If you are a guest, welcome. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at CBG. We're in a relationship series called Sounds Complicated, using a music cover every week to kind of begin the conversation. So let's begin the conversation this way. Intentions. Intention. Justin Bieber sings about his intentions. I like providers and professionals that when you hear the name of what they, their job, what they define their job, it gives you the intention of their job. You're confused. Teachers teach. Right? We call them teachers, and we call them what they do. They teach. Builders build. Servers serve. Right? You with me? Pastors pastor. Rappers rap. Right? So right there, you know their intention. Now, some other professions I admire do not do that, like attorneys. Attorneys don't attorn, or even lawyers don't law, right? What they'll tell you is what a lawyer, any lawyers in the house, any lawyers in the house. You're afraid to admit it, aren't you? Hey, listen, we need lawyers in this world. Lawyers don't say they law or do law. Lawyers do what? They practice the law. I'm a lawyer. I practice the law, which I understand that that's probably tipping your hat to the incredible complexity of the legal system, the sophistication of the nuance of law. I get that. At the same time, I feel like you're leaving yourself an out, like a little out in case things go really wrong. You're like, I'm practicing. Like, I'm so sorry you got 25 years without parole for those parking tickets, but I told you I was just practicing the law, right? Just practicing. We're in this relationship series right now, and I am your pastor, and I will bring you God's perspective on relationships. But as far as my relationships, and especially my family, I haven't perfected. I'm practicing. I'm practicing relationships. I haven't got them right. In fact, that little video you saw just a moment ago, that video is back from 11 years ago. We call those bumper videos. We have that most every week. It gives a little window, a transitional video, so I can get, singers and dancers off the stage and get the speaker on the stage. And so we use a bumper video, but it's not random. It normally introduces the theme or the idea. And that was from a relationship series back in the day. We've done a number. So this one's called Sounds Complicated. Some of you guys might remember we did one back years ago called Fearless Family. That was a relationship series, how, be unafraid of how to have healthy relationships. One time, just to reach out to the guys, because some church relationship series are just kind of girly. Like, they're all like flowers and pink and stuff and butterflies. And I feel like men just, so we did one based on James Bond called A Family Bond. Lots of testosterone. It was a real fun relationship series. But that one back from 11 years ago was called Messy Family. And the production team had the idea to kind of rip off Nickelodeon and slime us as a family. And so like a half dozen times they slimed us. We'd have to change clothes, take showers, the whole thing. But trying to communicate the point that my family is like your family. My family is a marvelous and messy family. Like every family, I talk about, every family is a blend of wonderful and weird. So if you're watching online right now or at Sample Road here at Sawgrass, your family, no offense, is both wonderful and weird. Yours is a marvelous and a messy family. Put your hands together if you have a messy family. Messy family. All right, so how do we minimize the mess and maximize all valued interpersonal relationships? God's word is the best source on this. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's say the text together loudly. Ready? Philippians chapter Come on, 1 o'clock. You guys have slept in. You've caffeinated, right? Philippians chapter. Find that. We'll bounce around and we'll land in Philippians chapter 2. But let's talk about our family and family relationships. And by the way, if you're single and don't have a family, don't check out on me. In fact, come back next week because I'll bribe you again probably next week. And then Maddie Pruitt's in the house next week. And of course, she is a sensational single. Give it up for Maddie Pruitt. And she's going to talk about relationships and dating. And she'll be in rally as well for the young adults. So don't miss Maddie. Invite people for Maddie. So next week, a lot of fun. And by the way, so this week is I want to talk specifically about what the Bible says about family relationships, you know, parenting, marriage a little bit. The principles the Bible talks about in this issue are both biblical, beautiful, and broad. Meaning this, they're powerful and they're pervasive. They will easily plug in and integrate into other relationships in your life. So as I talk about these things that work in marriage, they also work in friendships. Or they work in work relationships. So single people, stay with me, stay plugged in. By the way, statistically speaking, most single people don't live their lives as single people. You get married at some point, so God's given you great information to download for your future. So it's transferable, right, and it's future as well. So we'll jump into it. So I want to talk about family, and I wish I'd have thought this through better this week because Jesus, the master teacher, loved parables. So parables were those creative stories about recognizable things. People in his culture would recognize the parables. He's, you know, talk about what? Farmers in their fields, kings in their kingdoms, right? All these things they'd recognize, fishermen in their fish. I wish I'd have thought through, you know, a house in your home because in your home you have what? You have bedrooms, you got a kitchen, maybe you have a guest room, dining room. Like we have a dining room. We almost never dine in our dining room. Anybody else? Like once in a while we dine, but normally we don't dine in the dining room. Living room. Who grew up in a house where you had a living room, but you never lived in your living room? Anybody? Makes noise, yeah? Like once every 6 years, we're allowed in the living room if we were completely clean and touched nothing. That was the rules growing up. But a family room, I wish I would have thought to ask the production team to build a family room. Like, I love the jukebox, but I wish I had a family room and, like, furniture, but I forgot to ask the production team. Like, it would have been fun to walk out on stage and have, like, an entire family room, but I forgot that. But I do have the world's greatest production team. Would you please say thank you right now to the greatest production team as they transition the church by... Oh, man, Quincy, beverages too. I love this. Our stage into the Hughes family room. Thank you so much, Jane. You guys are great. Please, one more time. We're creative people. I love our creative people, what they do. Because I want to use this as a metaphor because as we think through family relationships, you probably have a family room. And though we have a living room and a dining room and bedrooms, we kind of do life in the family room. We do family in the family room. And so this week and next week, so please come back next week. Let me talk about, you know, some of the things in your family room will help you understand the dynamic and a biblical perspective on family, like furniture. Everybody remember when you first got married and you like really scrambled for furniture? You had old hand-me-down, broken ghetto furniture? Yeah. Had outdoor furniture? Is your indoor furniture? Right? Okay. So hopefully you're at a point right now you have some comfortable furniture in your family room. So this is not really our furniture. Actually, one time I did a series called The Table, and I brought my family's real kitchen table to the church for 4 weeks, but my family got mad at me because we ate standing up for a month, so this is not really our furniture. But pretend this is our family room furniture, and we have, you know, a couch and some chairs, which we all have, probably some couch, chairs, love seats. And the reason we have that is, well, I have four people besides me in my family. By the way, if you don't know my family, this is my family ready... Boom, right there. That's give it up for my family. Thank you. That's my way better half, my awesome wife, Lisa. I've been married 23 years. And what I say about, listen, I married my best friend. Lisa and I were best friends. We're still best friends. And we have, by God's grace, it's messy at times, but we have a wonderful and strong marriage because she is a genius relationally. So I'm married to a great, great girl. Thank you. Please give it up for my awesome wife. And then you guys recognize, that's Charlie. He's my young punk preacher on the front row. Charlie, so proud of you, the man you are becoming, God's gift he's placed within you, how well you preach, how well you lead, how hard you work. Well, you don't know about Charlie. Charlie has such a heart for the Lord, and he's very sincere, very integrous, and he's messy. His room is messy, but he's a great kid. And then that's Victoria on this side. She's my one and only baby girl. You give it up, Victoria. Charlie's at Palm Beach Atlantic University working on his undergrad and his master's in theology. Victoria's at FSU trying to figure out what she wants to be when she grows up. But she's bright and she's beautiful and she's always like three steps ahead of the rest of us. She's that kid. And she's a really good kid too. Then the one in the middle, that's Zane. Zane turned 12. He turned 12 this week. I know. Growing way too fast. And Lisa said, I can say this. Zane was a little God surprise. Apparently, we didn't plan him, but God planned him. And he's been a delight. He's a nice little boy and fun kid, loves basketball, loves the church. And let me just say this. So our family, again, messy family, not a perfect family, but I'll say this. Lisa and I, by God's grace, have a very good, I'd say great marriage. And we have three really good kids. And you can ask around the church, because some pastors' kids are rascally kids. Like the messiest kids in the church are the preacher's kids. And I'm not sure why that happens sometimes. And I don't know what we did right. I feel like we got lucky or, you know, blessed or something. But our kids are good kids. And the big kids especially, because they've navigated successfully those teen years and the early adult years. And you guys aren't out of the woods yet. But so far, they have made great decisions on all those big issues and avoided some of the pain and the brokenness that kids go through. And I wish I could tell you the secret sauce. Lisa and I are like, wow, we don't know why they're doing it. And the little guy's doing good too, but he's just 12. I'd say, but the one thing we did right was we immersed our children in the church from the time they were born. Now, someone's watching online going, oh, hey, shocker, the pastor thinks church is important for his family. The pastor brought up his kids in the church. Can I just do this? Can I take off my pastor hat and put on my dad hat for a moment? Because I've never, and Charlie will attest to it, I've never put the pressure on you like, hey, you're the preacher's kid. Don't make me look bad, right? I have colleagues that have told their kids things like, my ministry rests on your shoulders. That's way too much pressure for a kid. I didn't grow up in a pastor's home. I'm the proud son of a Christian plumber. And so I said, that's our model. We're a Christian family. So you have to do nothing because you're the pastor's kid. We're not going to put that pressure on you. But we're going to do what a Christian family should do. So here's what we require of our kids. You go to church. We go to church. So on the weekend, we do worship together. And then you do also your appropriate age-graded program. So for Charlie and Victoria, middle school and high school, they went to something called the Wave Ministry. The Wave happens on this campus. Their kids are in the Wave. They came through the Wave. Right across the breezeway on Wednesday nights. And it's phenomenal. And why that was so important for our kids was because when they hit, I don't know, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, dad is not cool at all. Dad's not cool. But here we have these young, cool volunteers and staff in the Wave that pour into our kids, that create these amazing environments, that will say things to your kids. You want your kids to see, we need allies as parents. What these kids navigate, the pressures and temptations today, so hard. So at the church, I had this team of people helping me. And before that, you know, and Camp United, we required the Wave. Now, not legalistic. If they had a big exam, we'd let them miss on Wednesday night, rarely. But Camp United, man, we planned a vacation that we go to Camp United. And all I can tell you is it's the most unique environment for kids turning their lives around and making great decisions on the planet. So listen, so important. And by the way, there's somebody here, and you kind of, you're in and out of church, one dad to another, one parent to another. It is worth rethinking your entire schedule. No, Wednesday night, you got things to do, man. It needs to be, and your kid's going to push back. Be the parent. Be the parent. You need this. And then for the little guys, you know, so Zane goes to CBG Kids, and that's been a lot of fun for all my kids. Some of you guys serving that great ministry. And I require, you know, so they do that instead of this worship service. It's appropriate for them. So one time a week. You don't have to be there all the time, but he loves it so much. We now have 4 services. He comes all 4 hours. And he just loves it, and he volunteers some. And so I love the partnership of the parent and the church. So I'm not sure why my kids, so far, have done really well, and so far they're good kids, and so far they don't party and drug and sleep around, all that kind of stuff. I would just say it's parents trying their best. We're consistent as parents. Most of the time we're consistent in a great church. Raise your kids in the house of God. And then take them home to your family room. Take them home to your family room. So this is the family room. So the family room, so I have 5 people. There's a place for everyone, right? My family room is a little bigger at home, but everybody has a seat. Why? Because I want everyone in my family, surely starting with my wife, to feel honored. To feel honored, to feel esteemed, to feel valued. I want everyone to feel comfortable and celebrated. Kids, I know kids get on your nerves and wear you out. But in the Bible, kids are not a bother. Kids are a blessing. You stay in Philippians chapter 2. I love what it says. This is so rich. In Psalm 127, verse 4 and following. It's on the screen right now. Read the highlighted word loudly, if you will. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children. Put the word children in the chat. Children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. So our quiver had room for three arrows. But anyways, children in the Bible are like weapons for a warrior. They're always personified in the positive. They're a great thing. They're not a bother. They're a blessing. And the Bible will give you all kinds of specific relationship roles and instruction. Where should you read? Write this down. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 6 goes into detail about the responsibilities and the roles in the family. Like, for example, for the kids, it says in the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Get ready. For this is right. Honor. When I say three, shout the word honor. One, two, three. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So kids, you're called, here's your role before God, to obey and honor. Obey and honor. Well, David, what's the difference? Okay, obey is the action. Honor is the attitude. Thank you, Charlie. The only response in the house is you. I'm gonna say it again. Obey is the action. Honor is the attitude, because parents, you know, when your kids obey you, but they roll their eyes, drag their feet, do it as slowly as possible. Everything in their body language is defiant, but they're doing the bare minimum you ask for. Don't you feel blessed? Doesn't that honor you? No, it's both. And young people, God makes you a promise. If you honor your parents, God will honor you. That's the promise. Honor you, maybe even give you a long life. So it's so specific, so comfortable. I want my kids to be comfortable. Lisa to be comfortable. Before disclosure, the best seats in the family room, the most comfortable of the comfortable seats go to dad and mom. Mom and dad, the husband and wife, we get the most comfortable seats. Now, the kids are not as comfortable. Why? Well, here's truth be told. I want the kids to feel in my house loved. I want them to feel esteemed. I want them to feel valued. And someday I want them to leave. My firstborn, you are awesome, but someday you need to leave. Someday you need to leave. Not yet. Someday you need to leave. Someday it is time to leave. That's good. Yeah, right there. That's good. Have a seat, brother. That's good. Awesome. Thank you, man. I love you too. God bless for being here. That's a good seat. So someday they leave. So if you raise your kids right, you raise them and release them. You raise them and release them. That's what we do. So listen, if things blow up, like an adult child, things blow up, they can come back home and kind of recharge and heal up and then leave again. Charlie, when you have kids someday, I hope you will come back with your kids and I'll be a grandparent. Oh, that'll be, bring your kids back and stay 3-4 days and then leave. So the spouse, she stays, and the children, they leave. So if you are 47 without a job, living in mama's basement, might need to leave. All right, furniture. How about this? TV. Give it up if you have a TV in your family room. Make some noise. TV in your family room. Put it in the chat. Do you have a TV? I know. Wait, some of y'all didn't clap. You don't have a TV? No TV? Oh, you are so spiritual. You just read the Bible all the time. All you do is read the Bible and pray. God bless you. I'm not that spiritual. I highly recommend you get the biggest, best, brightest TV you can afford without violating Dave Ramsey financial peace principles. I got a big TV in my family room because I love sports and I enjoy a TV. And again, some people don't watch TV. I respect that. But ours is a TV family. And the TV comes with some technology. And this piece of technology is wonderful. But it also can be a very selfish piece of technology. Now, I proudly preached before, the remote control has been perfectly designed by God in heaven to fit perfectly in the hand of the Father. I mean, I bought the TV. I picked out the TV. I hired the guy who put the TV on the wall, right? The TV. And I have my shows. I have my shows. I like to watch on my big TV, my shows. But Lisa, here's the crazy thing about Lisa. Lisa, we're married 20 plus years, and biblically speaking, husband and wife, we're a one flesh relationship. And though we're one flesh relationship, she likes different shows. we're probably weird. We're probably strange. We're probably the only messy couple that we like different shows. I like certain shows. She likes other shows. We're probably a relational anomaly. I'm sure there's no other couples where she likes one show and you like a different show. Anybody else? Any other couples where you don't like exactly the same shows? Daryl, Lynn, you and Addison don't like the same shows. Oh my goodness, y'all don't like the same shows. All right, so here's what it is. I could say, look, biblically speaking, I'm the man. I'm the husband. I'm the father. I am the leader of the house. I bought the TV. I paid for it. I bring home the, we're watching my shows. And I would be very alone. Because there's other TVs, they go wash in the room and stuff. So here's what I've just done. This is just me. Because one of the biggest principles in relationships is selfishness. Here's a theme verse for today. It's on the screen right now. Philippians 2:3. This is an amazing verse. If you didn't read anything else because you're not an out loud reader, I get it, because you're cool and quiet. And one word. Read the one word today. Put the one word in the chat. Here we go. Do nothing from... I should have just come out and read those four words and said, amen, go home. If I would just do that all the time, every relationship I have would be better. Yep. Healthier, more nurturing, more encouraging. Not just family, friendships, work relationships. You know, selfishness, or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important. Other people is more important than me? God, don't you know how important I think I am? Selfishness. Gosh, I battle being selfish. My remote, my TV, my programs, my preferences, my desires, my taste. I bring me to every circumstance. I bring me to every environment. I bring me to every conversation. I talk about me. While you're talking, I'm thinking about what I want to say next. How does this affect me? I mean, church, where did I get to park my car? Where are we going to put my kids? Oh, someone's sitting in my seat. Not your seat, by the way. Your name's not on it. Man, I got things to do. I hope David preaches short. Me, 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 me. I'm always on my mind. And that meistic attitude is the antithesis of intimacy in relationships. So the Bible's saying, do nothing. So here's the way, because I got to break this down and give you an application. So I've decided, though I have my shows, I like to watch my shows, I try to look for common ground. What's something I can share with someone else? And I haven't found a single show that wins for the whole family at these ages. Could when they were small, but not now. So I find with each member of my family something I can watch with them that we kind of share the moment. So Zane. Now, when Zane was little, small, he's 12 now, but he was like 1, 2. Oh, my gosh. Those kids' shows are horrible, aren't they? Those kids' shows. If right now, bless your heart, if you're watching The Wiggles with your 2-year-old, God bless you in Jesus' name. And I pray that someday soon you will wiggle out of The Wiggles. Or, gosh, man, way back when, young people, they had a show called Barney about this giant lizard. He was a sin before the Lord, a purple abomination. So with Zane, because he's my third time through this, we wiggled out the Wiggles as quick as we could, and we got to Disney Channel and started watching shows like Gravity Falls, and now at 12, superhero shows. Man, he loves hero shows. So we're watching WandaVision together. Watched it last night. New episode came out. Mandalorian, Baby Yoda. So we watch all those. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We spend that time together. We compromise common ground. Charlie, you're the easiest because you're a dude, so we watch sports together. You like any movie that's silly. Adam Sandler and stuff, Charlie loves that kind. Parks and Recreation. You and I watched every episode. Any Parks fan in the house? Great show. Watched every episode a couple times. He was easy. His sister was tougher. His sister, because she's a girl, and she likes E! Channel and celebrities, and I don't like that. I don't understand that. And Riverdale, I didn't get that one. And she got real into Lost, like really late to Lost, but she started watching Lost, and I get Lost watching Lost. And so I'm like, what do I watch with this kid? And finally, we settled on Harry Potter. She loved the Harry Potter movies. I'm like, I can watch Harry Potter movies, or 8 of them. We watch them over and over, and I'd take her to Universal, and we'd ride Harry Potter and stuff. So you look for those things you can engage in the other person's life. But the toughest one was Lisa. Now, yeah, single people. Back when we were dating, She loved Monday Night Football, man. She loved Monday Night Football. Hey, how about an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, The Rock? Oh, I love those kind of action movies. That's great. Man, we watched all that stuff. And then we get married, and 15 minutes after we get married, she's like, you know, I really don't like football. True story. I'm like, what? You don't like? So here's the takeaway for the single people, especially if you're in love, you're engaged. Couple thoughts. If you're engaged right now and you're in love, you're as dumb as a bag of hammers. Your emotions have overridden all the wiring in your brain. So listen to smart people around you who give you counsel, especially spiritual people. And when you get married, a few small things are going to change. A few small things are going to change. Just love people. So Lisa had a harder time. So guys, I had to work and really had to come into her world. So right now we're watching Jane the Virgin. Yeah, but it's not the most manly show out there. Watching Jane the Virgin, and I really have to surrender my man card for this one. I finally had to join her and start watching, because she doesn't do Monday Night Football, HGTV. My brothers, don't think less of me, HGTV. And here's the trick with this, because, you know, do nothing out of selfishness. I can't watch it with her like, not my show. Don't like this show. Your show. Yeah, that doesn't work. I get a joiner. So I've learned, guess what? I like Chip and Joanna, man. They're fun people. Baylor grads. I went to Baylor. House Hunters International. I now wonder, hey, what does that 3-2 ranch go for in Bogota, Colombia? I'm kind of curious. And the crazy thing is, after all these years, she's finally come back to football. She's come back to football, but it has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. Some people entered our life. Do you have a doorbell in your house? Do you have a doorbell near? Oh, there's the doorbell. And occasionally someone rings at your doorbell, and it's a wonderful couple or people you want to invite into your life, into your family room. And Lisa and I now, for like 7 years, have a wonderful couple. They're part of our life. We love them completely. Some of you guys are here just to meet them. And so they're part of our church family. He has this interesting job, plays for a little something called the NFL. Won the 2019 Comeback Player of the Year, and she is this amazing, smart. I'm going to just bring him out. Would you please stand to your feet and put your hands together and welcome my wife, Lisa, and Ryan and Lauren Tannehill to the stage. Perfect. You can be seated. Guys, thank you so much. And listen, being at all these services with preschoolers, I know it's not a small thing. I know it's been a sacrifice. You guys get such limited time. Thank you on behalf of our church for carving out a weekend to hang out with CBG.
Excited to be here. Just before we get started, what is up, Church by the Glades?
Well played. Well played.
My name is Ryan. I'm one of the attendees here.
All right, so good. So good. So Lisa, where do we start with these two? They have a great marriage. We know you guys well. They get two beautiful kids. Your kids' names, ages?
Stella is 2.5 and Steele is 4.5.
And they are so cute.
Yeah, beautiful kids.
They're wild and fun and everything
cute, but
good.
A handful.
Like all preschoolers are. Yeah. So you guys navigating, gosh, you're navigating marriage and a very high profile life and then two preschoolers. So how did you get started?
How did you guys meet? Because I think some people look at you and you're a beautiful couple. Ryan's an NFL quarterback. And it's like, oh, of course she married a quarterback. Of course a quarterback married a girl that looks like her. But that's not, you weren't a cheerleader for the Dolphins. I mean, tell them how you guys met.
We met in college on spring break in the classy and fabulous Panama City.
Redneck Riviera, yes.
We both went to A&M and he was 20 and I was 21. And I don't know, the rest is history. What else is there, babe?
Yeah, so we met on spring break where everyone goes to meet their future wife or husband, obviously. But it worked out. You know, we started dating immediately after that meeting there.
And you guys didn't know each other, though. A&M, not Florida A&M, you went to Texas A&M. And you didn't know each other from college. You met on spring break, went to the same school.
Yeah, went to the same school and just through mutual friends happened to meet there in Panama City. And found out we went to the same school and super excited about it. Obviously, she looked good, so I was excited about that. But as I got to know her, she's just an incredible
obvious
person. And, you know, more beautiful on the inside than she is on the outside.
Aww.
Sweet. And at that point, you did not know you were going to be a football player.
No, he was pre-med. He wanted to be a doctor. I was communications, but I was working for doctors. And so once we kind of fell in love, he was going to be a doctor, I was going to go to school to be a nurse, and I was going to be his nurse.
Now, Ryan, you were playing football in college, but you weren't even playing quarterback. You were playing receiver, right?
Wide receiver, yeah. So I went to A&M as a quarterback, little sidestep, started playing receiver, met her while I was playing receiver. So it wasn't always the glitz and glam of quarterback and NFL and everything like that. I was a broke college kid, just like most every other college kid, living on a small amount of money, eating microwave dinners and Stouffer's lasagnas. I had a very limited, like $68 a week for everything. You know, if I wanted a new shirt or to eat dinner, it came out of that money. So I was hoarding my food. I had, you know, a limited amount of Stouffer's lasagnas, and I wasn't willing to share. I only had one per night, so I would invite her over after I ate dinner to make sure that she wasn't eating my lasagna. But I've grown since then. I'm not, hopefully not as selfish now as I was then.
Well, you guys fell in love. We know you pretty well. So you've been married how long now?
Nine years.
So yeah. 10 coming
up. Nine going
up.
On 10. Yeah.
10's a big one. Good gift for 10. Yeah. What would you say, because you were newly married when you moved to Florida, you're thrown into this crazy world of spotlight and football. What would you say is kind of your foundation that gets you guys through?
It was Jesus, and I feel like this is the right place for that answer. The more that I look to Jesus first and that he looks to Jesus first, we're brought closer. And that's the foundation for our marriage, and it has gotten stronger and stronger with time. And due to this church, we went from two believers, but honestly, I didn't really know how to walk. I just didn't even know what that meant. And this church has taught us how to apply it to our life and to walk, and it has made every single bump along the way rideable, you know? Because they're gonna come.
Yeah, just keeping Jesus at the foundation has just been so important for us. When you're able to honor and serve God by loving and serving your spouse, it changes that dynamic. Because there's a lot of times where, you know, maybe there's a little friction. Maybe she's kind of on my nerves or I'm on her nerves, and you don't really feel like me, no?
Theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah. This doesn't happen to us, obviously. But you may not really feel like doing it for your spouse in that moment. Yeah. But if you can take a step back and realize, okay, God has called me to love my wife and serve my wife, then I'm actually doing it for God and not for her. And so that helps me get through some of those tough moments when I may not be feeling the most giving.
All right, so one thing is we've had this conversation a couple times now on stage, and again, we know you guys. You guys are very intentional. Mm-hmm. You're intentional about your career. You're intentional about your spiritual life. You're intentional about your marriage. Tell me someplace, Lauren, that you feel like you guys are intentional. Relationship-wise.
In terms of connection. Okay, so I think it's super important to connect with your spouse or anyone relationally where they're at. So for us, when we came here, I was super scared of the water, or not of just the water, but was below the water. So every time that we went out like on the ocean, I thought that there was like a great white waiting for me to get in so he could eat me. So he decided that, we decided we want to get a boat, and then we got scuba certified, and then because he's crazy athletic, we had to take it to the next level, and now we're free diving, and now we're spear fishing, and the sharks love that, by the way. It's a bleeding fish on a stick that we did for him. So anyways, in an effort to connect with him, I got over my fear and did something with him that was important to him, and now it's become like one of our favorite things to do together. And I say that to say, it's not always easy to do things that your spouse is into or that your children are into or that your friends are into. But when you want to really connect and love on them and the way they need to, you have to sometimes do things that you don't want to do. And it's a good way to love your people.
And you do excite. Years ago, the first time we get to know you guys and we went on the boat with you, I watched you like tying off a cleat like a ninja. I thought, oh, she's a boaty girl. And had no idea, I know you guys are from Texas, not near the water, that you had this resistance or fear, but you decided to kind of go past that and involve yourself and do it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I wanted to be his partner, and I feel like that is what made him feel so loved, is that I was all in.
Wow, so good.
Yeah, I think intentionality is important in all relationships, not just spousal relationship, but friendships and parents to kids. Things don't just happen in a good way most of the time. Like if you don't put intention to it, if you don't make conscious decisions in order to make your relationship better, in order to make your child feel loved and appreciated and led in the right way in your work and how you do there, in your friendships and making sure your friends feel supported and loved, things don't just naturally happen most of the time. You're gonna have to put that intention into it, make those consecutive intentional decisions in order to send your marriage in the right direction, to send your relationship with your kid in the right direction, because like I said, it doesn't just happen. So it takes conscious decisions for us each and every day to try to do those things that end up helping us out and you know, wouldn't want it any other way.
You guys are so intentional. I remember when Mac and Julie Richard were here doing a parenting seminar and then Q&A, Lauren and Ryan showed up, and this was like, Steele's 4.5. This was about 2 years before they had Steele. And I thought, is Lauren pregnant? And she wasn't, but they knew that at some point they wanted to have kids, so they were gonna be intentional about it, even if it was 2 years ahead of time. They took pages of notes.
Yeah, it wasn't even on the radar at that point. You know, we weren't trying or anything, but we knew parenting's hard, and we knew nothing about it besides, you know, our own experiences. So wanted to try to start learning from other people and people who do it really well. And I think Mac and Julie are great examples of that. I think that's important in every relationship, whether it's parenting or marital relationships,
or
you're surrounding yourself with people who do it well and do it like God has called us to do it. So you know, David and Lisa have been amazing for us in every aspect of being friends, of leading us spiritually and parents as well. You know, we think we wouldn't be able to do it, you know, without those people. And she mentioned Mac and Julie. You know, Lauren reached out to Julie just this past week on a parenting question. So having those people in your life that can pour into your family, pour into your relationships, and lead you in a Christ-centered way are crucially important to making sure you end up and have the relationships that you want to have.
And the church is where that happens. I know a lot of people, most people come from dysfunction. So it sounds like easy, like, okay, they're saying to do it like this. If you don't know how, if you come here and you get plugged in here, you'll find the people to lead you that way. And that's how you do it.
And it goes both ways. So, you know, we're older than you guys, and our kids are older than your kids. At the same time, it's come full circle, because now my daughter's out dating and stuff, and she'll call Lisa some and me some, but she calls you Lauren.
She does.
And I love the fact that my 19-year-old is reaching out to Lauren for advice and just on random stuff, but relational stuff. So it's kind of this neat synergy between, you know, families helping each other do family better.
Yeah.
How about this? So your schedule, Ryan, has a real rhythm. You know, you have off season, we have way more free time. Then what does it look like? Because Lisa, you and I were so surprised about how hard he has to work and how long.
I had no idea. I just thought that if you were as good at football as you obviously are, it was like, you know, you throw the ball a few times a week, you wear the outfit. And,
play Madden a little bit.
Put the outfit on, run around with my friends, and, you know, try to score points.
I'm kind of ready for Ryan to go back to work, because they spend so much time together during his off season that I prefer it when you're in season. Give them an idea of what your work day is like, because it's long.
And then how you guys build your time in when you spend a lot of hours at the facility.
Yeah, so during season, my days are long. On a typical work day, I leave the house by 6 and get home 7:30 or so. So it's a long day. You're tired at the end of it, and that's where intentionality comes in. As you know, I'm not the only one with a busy job. Right? Hundreds of people here have busy lives, busy jobs. You have kids that you're running around, you know, taking to practices and extracurricular activities and stuff like that. So unless you're intentional about setting some time aside, it's not gonna happen. For us, that's Friday nights. We put a mark on our calendar every Friday night during season, we're gonna spend time together. We're gonna put our phones down, we're gonna go to dinner and really just focus on each other and really connect, you know, for that period of time, whether it's an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours that we're able to spend together. We're gonna do that, and I think that's been crucial for our relationship.
And you guard that time. In fact, you have a policy with phones during that time. What's that, Lauren?
Yeah, no phones on dates and no phones at dinner time. I think it just allows you to really connect, because our phones can be so distracting.
By the way, nobody clapped for that. I'm just pointing out.
You I heard like one delayed, subtle clap somewhere over here.
It's a great idea, actually. So you have to really carve out time. Now, one thing I'll say this, because we know you guys well, we've traveled with you. Ryan, I do. When you, especially off season, when you have some time, you're intentional about that. You're a very hands-on dad. I mean, your bedtimes, your poopy diapers, you do the whole thing. How important is that time to you as far as getting that time with your kids?
Well, it's huge. I love being a dad. You know, I think there's not much in life that gets better than being a dad and feeling that love from your kid. And I don't get a lot of time during season. So when I do have a little bit more time, I want to try to spend that time with the kids and really connect and do things with them. We have such amazing kids, and the love that we share is amazing. So I do try to soak up that time. And really, it's not a chore, right? It's my duty as a dad to love and build up my kids and try to lead them in the right way.
I think it's just that perspective of having a get-to mentality instead of a have-to. Wow. And I think that's important in all of our relationships.
So good. How about this? So communication, because you guys are big on that. Both you guys are great with your words. Lauren was nervous to do this, and she's so great with her ideas and her words. So I kind of leveraged any friendship card I had. Thank you for doing this. You're doing great all weekend long. But you know, when he is working, doing those long hours, and you're home, the mom of two preschoolers, what's communication look like for you guys when he comes home and he's tired and you're just dying for a grown-up to talk to?
So I think over the years, that's probably gotten better, because the first few years, I probably talked to him like an auctioneer when he got home, just like firing off questions. I want to know everything. And he's like,
drinking out of a fire hose. Anyone ever done that?
And he's already spent. So now I feel like we have a better rhythm. I have other relationships. I get my words count in during the season. And when he gets home, that's a really intentional time for me that I get off the phone. I try to have the house tidied up. I try to have dinner ready. I try to have the kids clean and ready to go so that he can just enjoy the kids. And I amp them up because the most important person in our world is about to get home, and I want him to feel celebrated for the king that he is to us.
It works. It really does. It's the highlight of my day, no matter if I had an amazing day at work or an absolutely terrible day at work. Coming in the door and my kids running to me, giving me hugs, and getting a hug and kiss from my wife is the highlight of my day each and every day. So it works, and it can have a huge impact on just your overall morale, definitely on a day-to-day basis.
Listen, something as simple as how we greet each other in the homes.
Yeah.
So with my family, you know, the little guy was always a big greeter. When they're little, they do it better, right? When they're little, they'll run to see you, and they get to a certain point, like, hey, Dad, whatever. So I remember being gone on trips, you know, ministry or fishing for a few days, and I'd come home, and when the big kids were bigger, they'd be on the couch on their devices, and Zane would run and greet me and hug me, and they would just barely acknowledge me. So one time, I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a $20 bill and I said, Zane, greeting people is a wonderful life skill. Thank you so much for doing this. Well, at that point, Charlie and Victoria hopped off the couch. So I'm like, too late, try again. So I will occasionally bribe my kids for good behavior, trying to reinforce things like that. Intentional. Okay, here's one, if I can really step in your world. So how about intentionality when it comes to intimacy?
Yeah, I think that's really important, and I think it's over-talked about outside of marriage and under-talked about inside marriage.
That's good. Wow.
It was made by God for marriage, and it's great in marriage, and it should be consistent in marriage.
Hello.
And I think that the desire aspect is just as important as the actual act. So in our house, if the desire aspect isn't there, it doesn't count. So
desire on both parts, not just him desiring you. Yep. A man wants to feel desired by his wife.
Totally. And it's interesting how when that's very consistent, communication, connection, everything just kind of flows. Like, God designed it for that reason, and it flows more easily when it's done in that way.
The whole relationship is intertwined, right? So the more that I make her feel loved and heard and we're emotionally connected, mm-hmm. the more she desires me and things work out. So it's all interconnected, and you kind of figure those things out over time. You know, David mentioned coming home after a long day at work, and Lauren's such a great communicator that she has a lot of things to tell me. And so early on, it could have been a point of friction for us, contention, where, you know, I didn't really want to talk, she wanted to talk, and we might have a disagreement. Well, we've kind of learned over the years what works for us, and she'll just give me a nudge or encourage me and say, like, hey, I don't feel like you're hearing me, or I don't feel like you're understanding like what I'm trying to say, and that's just the nudge I need. So instead of being contentious with me, she just gives me a slight nudge, and it kind of wakes me up and clicks me in, like, okay,
that's really great.
I'm not loving her, and I'm not making her feel loved the way I need to. So that's been huge for us in a lot of different areas of just trying to nudge each other instead of you know, being angry or having hard feelings, and it's really helped us out.
And I think timing is really important. I think as I've matured, I don't nudge him on Saturday or Sunday. So I think knowing your husband
during season.
No, not at all, because we have one goal, and when he wins, I win. And so if you treat your life like that and your marriage like that, it just makes for a lot more joy between the two of you, because I don't want to take away from him. And I do communicate with him how I feel, and I am very vocal. But I do tell him, another thing I tell him is my love tank's getting a little empty. Mm. And it helps him, like, just send me a nice text. I mean, a text takes 3 seconds. You know, like, it's just really little things that, but I think a really great marriage is a compilation of a lot of intentional little moments.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Very well said. I gotta let you guys go. Well, kind of one last question. This is about your career. Ryan, you have been on fire the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You've been just at the top of your game, literally, by all the statistics they measure quarterback efficiency. You're among the elite in the NFL in the playoffs the last 2 years. But there was a hard patch in between as you kind of transitioned from the Dolphins to the Titans. So how does a marriage and how does a man weather a setback or a storm like that?
It was a huge setback for me personally. I mean, it was tough in every aspect. It was tough emotionally. It was tough just professionally. I got demoted. I got fired, basically, and sent to another team. I don't know if anyone here has dealt with something similar, but it's not a good feeling. You're basically getting rejected, and rejection hurts no matter how it comes. Mine was very public rejection, but...
If you're not a football fan, so you were a starter for the Dolphins, and they traded you the Titans, you were on the bench.
I was going to be backup. So not only did I get sent to another team, but I got demoted. So just really hard time. Hard time all the way around. Moving, we have so many friends and deep roots here in South Florida from our 7 years here, and getting sent, you know, new city, new friends, new everything. It was just a lot of new and a lot of hard adjustments to make. But having our faith to fall back on, you know, really, you know, held us firm, and that was our foundation. Lauren and the kids were obviously huge. She supported me and had my back throughout the entire process, which was amazing. And you know, I wouldn't be where I am probably, obviously, without her support over the adjustment and transition.
And I think it's just really important that our identity is in Christ and not of this world.
Right. Wow. Say that again, because when it's important that our identity
is in Christ and not of this world. And for us, if we chased after the approval of the world, or God bless us if we chased after the comments of Instagram, we would never be happy. But when you chase after who, you know, Christ and who he says you are, then you'll always have joy no matter what. So,
Lauren, you need to preach. You need to preach somewhere in the field. That's phenomenal. And that's so important, and you know, especially Ryan, for men, because men, you ask a guy, what do? They won't say a husband or a father. They'll talk about their job. And our identity has to be bigger than that. I mean, someday I'll retire, but athletes retire early. And if all your identity is wrapped up in your athleticism, and you're done, some are done in their 20s, and the athleticism, you know, identity since they're 6, no wonder they struggle.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in your job, no matter what your job is, and that can become who you are. You know, someone asks, you know, what are you? I'm an athlete. I'm an attorney, or whatever it may be. Your identity starts to become that. So unless you consciously take a step back and say, that's what I do, not who I am, it's easy to get wrapped up in that. And so when that ends, whether it's gracefully on your own decision, or you get fired or whatever, you get moved on, you have your own identity away from what you do in order to fall back on, because you know who you are in Christ and what he says you are in his word. So I know that gives me a lot of security. It gives me a lot of confidence knowing that no matter what happens on the football field, no matter, you know, what happens in the rest of my career, I know who I am in Christ and what he's called me to be.
Wow. And on that brilliant note, we love you guys. We're honored to be your pastors. We're very honored to be your friends. And we love the authenticity, the integrity, just that you guys, listen, they're exactly who you think they are. This is not manufactured at all. They're just a great couple. A little messy, but really marvelous. And we love you guys. Give it up for Ryan and Lauren Tannehill. Wow. Hey, go ahead. You can stand. Don't leave yet. Just a quick word. If you're here, just you remain standing. I'm going to cut you loose. Thank you for coming. I hope you enjoyed that. Obviously, you did. Don't miss next week with Maddie Pruitt. Great chance to invite. People love The Bachelor. Leverage that. Leverage that. I'm not just trying to bring out Maddie Pruitt. I'm trying to give you a chance to invite someone who can hear less about Jesus, but they like The Bachelor. Why? Because this great God we're talking about is all-powerful, and he's creative, and he's sovereign, but he's loving. He's relational. And what God wants for you based on the Bible is not a religion. He wants a relationship. So if you're here today without the advantage in life of a personal relationship with God, that first thing, that foundation Ryan and Lauren talked about, this is your day. Why would you live one more hour, one more day without nailing that down? So at every campus, prayer partners will be at the edge of the stage. You can give yourself by faith to Christ today. And if you're watching online, there's a number coming up on the screen, 954-328-1919, I think it is. I wouldn't even close. Whatever's on the screen right now, you text that, and a real-life person will go ahead and respond to you, help you navigate life's greatest decision. Let me pray for you, and we'll see you again next week. Father, thank you so much that you created relationships. We're all messy, messy families. But infuse our families, our marriages, our parenting, our friendships with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.